I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. The Community Foundation in Riverside has a youth initiative where high school students are learning about philanthropy and issues facing the youth in our community. Through the Grant Makers Program, they are given the skills and the challenge to fund grants to nonprofits. I'll speak with Denisha Shackelford, who heads the program, and Fabian Sanchez, one of the high school students involved in the program. Fabian is a senior at Ramona High School, and I was able to chat with him while in school in his counselor's office. Then I'll speak with the mayor of Fontana about her favorite movies as part of our Mayor Movies Moment segment. My conversation with Denisha Shackelford, Fabian Sanchez, and the mayor of Fontana are coming up next, right after the NPR newscast. This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. The Community Foundation serves the San Bernardino and Riverside counties and stewards over $100 million in assets. They provide grants to nonprofits and college scholarships. One of their programs is the Grant Makers Program. The foundation's youth initiative manager is Denisha Shackelford. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you, Lily. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you.
Okay, you know, this is really a wonderful opportunity for our youth, this whole entire program, to learn about philanthropy and so much more. So tell me a little about it.
Sure. So it is a high school program geared for high school students, and as you mentioned, it's working within our two county region, Riverside and San Bernardino County. Currently, we have four programs, one in Riverside, one in San Bernardino, one in Coachella Valley, and we also have one in Temecula working with our Native Youth Program with our Pechanga Tribe. And so basically, the whole premise of this program is teaching leadership skills to these high school students, learning and kind of teaching them different ways of giving back to their community. And one of the interesting and kind of cool things about this program is we have a grant making process where these high school students are giving a pot of money to kind of divvy through and give back to the community through nonprofit organizations. So they're learning to read grants and assess the needs of the community. One of the ways they do this is by having their peers in their high schools fill out a needs assessment survey. And on this survey, it's a myriad of issues that some of our teens are facing, from alcohol and drug abuse to teen pregnancy to academic stress. And so they're going on this form and kind of checking the things that they're facing. And so each high school within the regions that represent in this program come back and we tally all that data. And each high school presents out what are the top five issues that their teens are facing on their campuses. And so from that information, we send out referral for proposals to the community via our social media outlets, emails, blasts, and word of mouth to the community to see if we have nonprofits that have youth-based programs that address those needs that we're looking to fund.
So very cool. Share some of the objectives and the goals for the students. Like, so you bring the students together, you sit them down, and you tell them what this program is. What are some of their goals and objectives that they're going to have to get to by the end of the year? Because it's a year-long program, right?
Correct. We start in September and we kind of culminate in June. For our objectives during this time is we have nonprofit presentations that come in. We also have sessions on nonprofit 101. One of the things we do is community service. That's one of our main objectives, is to get our youth out there to give back to the community in a more tangible way. One of our other objectives is to conduct site visits. Some of our programs have past grantees, and so one of the things we are able to do is look in on those grantees and the progress that they've made with the grants funded in the past. So that's one of our other objectives that we had, along with building their leadership skills. So there's public speaking opportunities, presenting to our board, as well as building up our communities, doing other additional projects that they may bring to the table.
Okay, give me an example of maybe some of their community service.
Sure. So just recently, our Riverside program participated in the 26th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Walkathon here within the Riverside County region, Walking in Peace for Justice. And so they were out there among a host of other people representing the Youth Grantmakers program in solidarity with the other people that have come out, just to make sure that we continue to have peace and justice in our community.
Nice.
So any way that they can find an opportunity to give back, they want to do so.
Okay, so we know that this is a big year. It's your 10th year anniversary that you've been running this program. So that means that the students that first started are probably 26, 27, maybe even 28. Have you stayed in touch with any of them? Have they gotten back with you to say, you know, thanks to this, I did this? Or any anecdotal information from some of the early participants?
Yeah, so we have one participant by the name of Kathleen Sawa, who was in the original group, and Kathleen was here locally for a little while and worked at University of Riverside, working in their mentoring department and internship department, and she was kind of pivotal in getting us interns here to help work with the Community Foundation. But she also served on our board as a board member representing our Youth Grant Makers program.
Okay, so that's really exciting that she has gone full circle, in essence.
Yes.
What do you think this program is really instilling in these students?
Basically, a oneness with their community, giving them an open insight to what's actually happening in their communities and giving them a voice to help address those concerns. A lot of times, as youth, they feel there's not much they can do, or maybe they're getting overlooked because of their age. But with this program, they're able to have a voice and help address those needs. And so one of the ways they're able to do it is by funding nonprofit organizations. And a lot of times, some of our youth don't know some of these amazing nonprofits within their community. So this also turns into a resource for some of our youth grant makers that are participating, that now they have this in their arsenal. If they have a friend or a family member that may be addressing some issues, they know of some nonprofits that can now help them.
My guest is Denisha Shackelford. She is with the Community Foundation. She runs and manages the Youth Initiative. Denisha, thanks so much. Appreciate your time and love learning about this. And I look forward to speaking with one of the students.
Yes, Lillian, thank you so much for the opportunity, and you'll get a chance to speak with Fabian Sanchez, one of our co-chairs, and he's truly outstanding.
Fabian Sanchez is a high school student involved in the Youth Grantmakers program. He shares with me how he gives back to the community and what being a part of the program has instilled in him. Why did you decide to participate in this project?
I got the recommendation to join from my counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wasn't very oriented towards community service before. I just thought, oh, it's going to look good on my resume. So that's why I did it initially. But after my first year, I just started noticing more things, and it just opened up my mind to how our service can help other people and how philanthropy is able to extend our outreach, even as teenagers.
So you did it more than 1 year?
Yes, this is my third year.
Wow. And what do you think you learned from the experience?
Well, honestly, I learned that there's a lot of problems plaguing our youth that we don't really see. And we do this through conducting surveys, and they're anonymous, and we target the five biggest problems in our Riverside community youth. And then our grant-making process then leads to targeting those problems and giving money to nonprofit organizations that target those problems that we have identified earlier in the year.
How did you come to the decision to decide which of those nonprofits deserved the funds, in your opinion? How did you come to make that decision?
Well, we make the final decision as a group,
mm-hmm.
but we're able to review the applications, the grant applications, ourselves individually. And what I like to do is I like to see how much money are they allocating towards the program, how much money are they asking for, what's their goal and what's their mission, and what are they going to use the money for. If they're a nonprofit that's using the money for something not related to what we need to target in our community, maybe we'll rank them lower or consider another nonprofit that is targeting those problems, because we want this money to go to organizations that are helping the youth in our community as well.
And so what were some of the issues that were important to you that you felt as a young man in high school that the youth are facing? What were some of the things you wanted to fund or see happen?
Personally, definitely, I thought that academic stress was a big issue, especially now. Also, there's always going to be drug and alcohol use in teenagers. That's a big issue. And I think the one issue that was more, that pertained more to me was probably just educational awareness and academic stress.
And when you say academic stress, explain what you're talking about.
I think we have a problem in our schools that kids are putting too much onto themselves, and they receive a stress from all the academics. They're taking all these classes, school, and as to before, you know, I feel like, and I think a lot of other teenagers feel, is that people had more time to do things. So it's just stress from classes, stress from schools, and that's one of the categories in our survey, and that's one of the ones that has been marked in all 3 years that I have been there.
And so give me an example, if you can, how to relieve some of that stress. What would you see as a fix or as a way to cope, or how did you try to combat that when you were allocating funds to different nonprofits?
One of my personal ways to combat this academic stress from classes and school, tests, exams, I like to, I've been picking up the guitar and I've tried learning it. And I've been, you know, singing, learning with the guitar. And
There
was a nonprofit last year, I believe, that was teaching at a guitar museum for free.
Uh-huh.
And what the money we gave them for was going to be allocated to these free classes for kids or teenagers, anyone that wanted to join. And I think that was helpful in maybe helping these other teenagers to rear them from both drug and alcohol use, and also helping with their academic stress, you know?
So it gave them another outlet, gave them something else to do. It took them away from the books and some of the other stress that's constantly going on.
Yes, and that's one of the more, I would say, more artistic-oriented or more art-oriented nonprofits that we gave money to.
Perfect. Fabian, what are your plans for next year? Where do you plan to go after high school? What do you plan to do?
I plan to attend the University of Southern California for mechanical engineering.
That's terrific. And how did you come to that decision?
A good thing about being in Youth Grantmakers is that they also help students and give them options. They orient us towards other organizations that will help us. So Youth Grantmakers helped orient me and other students to apply to organizations like Questbridge. And I was able to get into USC as a Questbridge scholar. So that's how I was able to come to the conclusion that, yeah, I want to go to USC.
Congratulations on that. And I hope it's not too stressful and that you enjoy your college years. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
To learn more about the Community Foundation's Youth Grantmakers Program, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. After a quick break, I'll speak with the mayor of Fontana for the segment Mayor's Movie Moments. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not
answers.
A test.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
He's looking at you, kid.
Aquanetta Warren is the mayor of Fontana and has been for quite a while. Aquanetta, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm so excited we're going to be talking about the movies.
You know what? That's my favorite subject outside of being the mayor.
Well, I'm glad. So I'm going to go through your choices one by one. Some of them I did know, some I did not know, and it was very interesting. But one that you have on here is Imitation of Life. It was a 1959 drama about an aspiring actress who befriends a black widow.
Right. And her daughter, who was passing for white.
Right. Oh, who was passing for white. So it starred Lana Turner, John Galvin, and Sandra Dee. Tell me, why is this your choice of movies?
My mother and father were very strict, and they let us watch television. And one night, my mom, she used to fold clothes at night. I love sitting with her when she fold clothes, because that's when she spent a great deal of time talking to us. And so she had this movie on, watching it, and I just adore it, my mom, and watching this young girl change her identity and not be proud that she was black, it was interesting to me as a little girl. But my mother explained to me that the era that they grew up in some cases, that's the only way you could get ahead.
Oh.
And it was just, but the thing that got me, I played piano and violin. I love music. At the end of the movie, they have a scene in an African-American church where the mother dies and the daughter comes to the funeral when it's already started and decides she does love her mother, she does love being black, and it's just a scene that if you see this movie, it just stays in your heart, and Mahalia Jackson is singing.
Yes.
And it's a song that my mother, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's an old black Baptist hymn, basically, that said the trouble down here on earth will go away when you go to heaven.
Mm.
And it's just, it was such an eye-opener for me. I had never, as a child, it was just something that stuck with me. And so all my life, whenever that movie comes on, I make sure that I'm able to see it.
So you stop and watch it every time it comes
on? Every time. I've seen it probably 100 times.
Well, I'm going to have to watch it now.
You've got to. It's not a tearjerker. It's an eye-opener.
Great. Let's move on to your second, another choice that you have. Now, this one I am familiar with. It's Let's Do It Again. It was an action comedy about two men who raise funds for charity by rigging boxing matches. And it was directed by Sidney Poitier, and it starred Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby. Why is this on your list?
You know, when I was in college, I was able to go and see that, and I couldn't get over how much fun it was. But I also liked the messaging that was in there. They did what they had to do, but they had to bring their families along. And it was just incredible. And plus the music. Once again, music drives me.
Okay.
And that song, Let's Do It Again. So I always, when I'm doing certain themes, I always include that in it.
Well, I thought it was a very interesting choice, as are some of your others. But your next one is a little more serious, and it's The Color Purple, which was a fabulous drama in 1985, and it was directed by Steven Spielberg, and it was starring Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah Winfrey and Danny Glover. Why is this on your list?
You know, that is my all-time best movie. I read the book at least 20 times. I got to see the movie hundreds of times. I have the DVD, and I even have it on my playlist with Netflix. And that movie, to me, shows successful African-Americans, but still rooted in their own issues. And that's a great movie, how women empower themselves to become better.
Mm.
If you notice in that movie, Oprah Winfrey was a strong woman,
yes.
Loved her children,
yep.
Wouldn't put up any crap from the white people. And it landed her in jail, but at the end, she ended back with her husband and brought her family together. And I just thought Whoopi Goldberg playing the role. What fascinated me was when she didn't even know her husband's first name.
Seeley?
She just called him Mr.
Right, right, yeah. Wow, I need to go back and watch that one again. I remember how much it meant to me when I saw it in 85, but I need to see it again.
Remember what The Color Purple stands for. It is a color that is vibrant, that it blooms, that it means well for all.
Nice. Have you seen the Broadway play?
No, but my sister brought me back the cup and the plate. I was supposed to go, but one of my kids wasn't feeling well, so I didn't get a chance to go see it. But that's my goal.
It should be on your list to go check it out.
Yeah, all right, it's on the bucket list.
Let's move on to, now this movie, not one of my favorites. I remember when I saw it. Not one that I cared for, but I have to know why you chose this one. Something About Mary. It was a comedy. Came out in 1998. It starred Cameron Diaz, Matt Dillon, and Ben Stiller. Okay, go ahead. Explain this one to me.
I had a big party, and the party was getting boring, which is very unlike the parties I usually give. And I decided, at that time I was married, I decided, let's watch a movie. And, of course, everybody was having a good time. I put this movie on. And if you ever sit down with me at a movie, I'm terrible. I laugh out. I don't do well at the theaters if it's a comedy. If it's a scary movie, I've got a blanket over my head. I just don't do well. But I love that movie because it was so funny. When I have to stand up and stand up against the wall, like I do in most movies like that, I had to get up, me and my friends, and stand up against the wall. And I just said, you know what? This is an all-time funny movie.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was not one of my favorites, I have to say. And I went to see it because I love Cameron Diaz, so which is why I went to see it, not knowing anything about it. And I'm like, really? I'll never get those 2 hours back of my life.
And she played out of her role that time.
She
that
did.
That was just hilarious.
She did. All right, your last one on here, which is very interesting. It's Girls Trip. It came out in 2017. It's a comedy. It's a four lifelong friends that travel to New Orleans, and starring Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith. Why is this your choice?
Well, I love going to presidential inaugurations. I don't care who wins. I'm going. I think that as a citizen, that is my right, you know?
Sure.
So that reminds me of my trips to Obama's inauguration. I usually host and try to get a hotel or a house rented, and we all go, and we just have a great time. And I have four friends that went with me, and that's our trip. And I've been to New Orleans with friends. And I tell you, everything they're going through in terms of career, love, having a good time, you know, especially the dance-off. Every time I get with my girls, we have a dance-off against somebody. So I love that movie. I loved all the actresses in that movie. There were some scenes that were kind of sketchy. You know, I had my granddaughter with me, and I had to kind of put my hand over her eyes a couple of times. But it was a good movie.
So clearly you like to laugh.
Oh, I love having a good time.
Yeah, so that's what I took away from that. I've never seen it. I love all the actresses that are in it.
Want me to take you, Lillian? I'll take you. You love it.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your top five favorite movies. I want to ask you now about something about Fontana, something cool, interesting, unique, something that you're proud of, something that's new going on. What do you want to share about Fontana?
Fontana is unique in that we are serviced by five school districts. Our kids are all over the map. Not to mention the charter schools, the parochial schools, the private. I mean, we just got schools everywhere. But what we're not doing is addressing the children that don't fit in that 8% that are going to college. So my big thing this year and the next few coming years of my administration is that I want to fix education in Fontana. And, of course, when I came out that everybody got hurt and, oh, you're trying to say we're not doing our job. No, what I'm trying to say is we need to work together and bring these kids along that don't want to go to college and provide them opportunities. And we want to uplift the idea of going to a community college or a trade school. Hmm. And so I'm working with our chamber. I'm working with all the businesses. I'm working with all the districts that will work with me. And I'm working with educators that care about our kids. And I'm going to include everyone. As a mayor, I don't get to say I only work with the public schools. I get the opportunity of working with all the schools because all the kids are our kids. So I'm excited. Our business model, or I call it a business model, our model of how this is going to work is going to be released soon. We're already working with different superintendents on their individual ideas of how to do this, and we're doing our thing, and it's going to be great.
Well, Aquanetta Warren, it's been a pleasure speaking to you about movies and something cool and exciting that you're energized about in your city of Fontana. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mayor Aquanetta Warren of Fontana sharing some of her favorite movies and what she's proud of in her city. That's our show. To hear any past interviews, visit our website at kvcinews.org/lifestyles. While you're on our webpage, leave me a message or a suggestion for a topic that interests you. Thanks to all who helped to make the show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wadd, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Bulock. Ethan Bortnick provides our theme music. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.